2 of our seminar here in Owerri, in Nigeria. A seminar that is absolutely fantastic, the ultimate seminar experience. Yesterday we began our ultimate seminar experience, and today we'll continue with the values, who and what I am. Now, Peter was asking a question, and your question again, Peter, is?
Throw more light on non-judgmental.
Throw more light on?
Non-judgmental.
On what?
Non-judgmental. Non-judgmental.
Non-judgment.
Yeah.
Throw more light on being unconditionally loving and non-judgmental. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that certainly is in keeping with our topic here, which, who and what I am. Now, to throw light on a subject like non-judgment is throwing light on the toilet, you know, on the things we don't want in our life, on the things that are not important. Because anytime we start being judgmental, anytime we start telling people about what they should do and how they should act and how they should feel, then we become self-righteous in ourselves, and we think that what we say is so important that they should follow it. Now, the difference between psychology and psychiatry is that in psychology, the psychologist works with you to help you understand who you are. The psychiatrist works with you to understand why you're so terrible and what's so bad about you and how to get rid of it and then how to be what you want to be. It's taken the long road. And all of us basically are psychiatrists. We all work in the field of psychiatry because we're all working on the idea of there's something wrong out there that needs to be changed. We're judging things. And to learn how to be non-judgmental is the simplest thing in the world and the most difficult. It's simple because you just stop talking about other people and the simplicity of it is you start talking about yourself. Now, the moment you talk about any other person on the face of the earth, you're not being who and what you are. You're trying to be who and what you think they are. And you're trying to judge them and understand them and be compassionate. Now, the mother whose child comes in and kicks her and she gets angry at him, she is being a psychiatrist. She's going to beat the little kid's head off and get angry at him. Now, the mother who says to the child, "What's the matter, sweetheart? You got something troubling you." I mean, she doesn't say, "You never kick me, you never do bad things." She just said, "You got something troubling you. Tell me what it is." Now, you might say she's dwelling into the psychiatric attitude of a child, but in all simplicity, she's dwelling into the psychology of the child. Because she's not really worried about what bugs the child. She's not really worried about what makes the child so unhappy and so incomplete and so angry. What she wants to know is what's going to make the child happy. Now, she says, "What's the problem? What's the problem?" And then the child tells the problem, and always, whether it's an adult or a child, the problem is nothing. The child says, "A thousand kids are chasing me." Or the child says, "I've got anybody to play with. I don't have any toys." Oh, that's a normal one. They say, "I don't have any toys." And their house is filled with toys for them to play with. We go over to her sister's house, and Ibu Bey comes over there, he's 5 years old, and the front hall is filled with his toys, big toys that take up two-thirds of the walk of the hall. A slide and a rocker and all sorts of neat stuff. My God. Now, that poor child, he's only got those toys plus a room full of them. And then he goes home and he has another room full of toys, maybe two or three, you know. But he just has lots of toys. Now, he is an angry child. He is an angry child because he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know where he should stand. He hasn't learned how to appreciate the little things that he has and to know the little things that he has and enjoy the little things that he has. He hasn't learned to appreciate who and what he is. Now, if he had appreciated who and what he was, he would say, wow, I got all the toys in the world. Everything's beautiful. Everything's great. So the mother says, what's the problem? And they begin to find out, hey, well, you got lots of toys. You got lots of friends. Everything's going good for you. You're a smart boy. Now, go out and find your friend and say, hey, what should we do now? And your friend will forget all about the problem, and you'll forget all about the problem, and you'll stop judging. But you see, now that's judging on a child level. And it's exactly the same thing on an adult level. Because when an adult comes in and has a problem, somebody, it would be nice if they'd say, what's the problem? I don't want to hear your problem, really, but what's the problem? What's troubling you? Well, what's really troubling you? Well, what's really troubling you? Well, the doctor just gave me a report that I've got something bad. Oh, how about that? Now, that's nothing to be angry about. What are you going to do? Are you going to say to the doctor, Doctor, thank you very much for telling me I got something terrible? Or are you going to say to yourself, so that's what's been bothering me. That's what's been irritating me, that little thing. I am going to put a new cause in motion and say, I'm whole and perfect. I'm going to put a new cause in motion and say, wow! And you see, then the non-judgmental aspect of it comes through. The unconditional love comes through. But you will always be judgmental so long as you're the psychiatrist, so long as you're digging into their problems. When you dig into their solutions, then you are the psychologist, you are the metaphysician, you are the master. And that's the way that each of us want to be. Now, O.K. would probably fire his employees if they came 10 minutes late like he did. And shame on you, O.K. We missed you. We've been talking about you all the time, and you will never know what we said. We said, heaven on earth is about to come, you know, and lo and behold, there it is. Right, Sam? Right. Now, each of us can learn to live and be who and what we are. But do you know who and what you are? Do you really know who and what you are? I told you all at breakfast that last night I was thinking about all of these things that were going through my mind about people who have illnesses and people who don't want illnesses and people who are unhappy about these things. And now, what can we do about them? What can we do about them? I mean, how could we speak our word instantly and have it be done? How could we be like the Christ and speak our word and have it be done? How could we be like the Christ and have someone touch our robe and be instantly healed? Neat, huh? Cool. But is that what we want to do? Is that what we want to do? We want to learn as the Master Teacher taught us. It's done unto us according to our belief, and we want to have a good belief. We want to have a belief that we can stand behind and know about in all perfect ways. Okay, who am I? What am I? Who are you? Who wants to answer that question first? Sam, who are you? You're God.
I am that I am. I am that I am.
Get kind of big there. I am that I am. And isn't that the truth? I am that I am. I am everything that is possible for me to be. I am the allness. I am the Alpha and the Omega, if such exist. I am the allness that exists. I am the God of the divine, the God of the everyday, the God of all. I am that I am. That's fine, isn't it? Okay, now. I am that I am. Can you really say to yourself that you are divine, that you are God? If you do, you will never say, I'm sick. Because what you are doing is you are going to King Solomon and you're saying, King Solomon, will you please issue your wisdom over me and help me to think through this problem? And he'll say, what's your problem? And you'll say, well, my one leg is shorter than the other. I'd like to have it, you know, the same. And he says, okay, sit right here. We'll have the axeman come in, cut off the other leg so they're both the same length. Oh, no, 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 that's not my point of view. Oh, well, you have to learn to speak what your point of view is. He said, I would like to be standing level with both legs the same length, both legs standing level and being perfect. And the King Solomon would say, that's no problem either. we have exercises for those things. We have talked to people, and we have a gadget that we can put you on, and we can stretch your leg every day. We can stretch your leg, not too much, just a little bit every day. And after a month, your both legs will be the same length. But won't that hurt a little bit? Yeah, it'll hurt a little bit. What do you want, the hurt or both legs being the same length? You want to get to that point? Are you willing to put up with that pain that would come from stretching your legs? And he says, well, isn't there another way? And King Solomon says, yes, there's another way. The other way is if you would say, I am absolute. I am divine. I like me. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind. That's who I am. I live in my ideal spirit, body. I am that I am. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit. You see, King Solomon will say, well, that's pretty good. How long have you been saying that? Well, since you told me. Well, you've only begun. Now, if you can come to that inspiration, if you can come to that illumination of who and what you are, it can come in a second, it can come in an instant, or it can come in a lifetime, or whatever. How soon do you want to come to the awareness of who and what you are? How soon are you willing to give up all the old thoughts that said you can't do it? Are you willing to give up the old thoughts that say your legs each of a different dimension? You remember Charles Fillmore of Unity. He and Myrtle founded the Unity School of Christianity. And Charles had one leg shorter than the other. Nobody could figure out which leg was the wrong leg, but anyhow. He had one leg all of his life as a metaphysician. He studied how he could have one leg the same as the other leg. And he was some 97 years old, I believe. He was in his late 90s. And he said to himself one day, I am whole and perfect. He'd said it many times before, but the thing is, he hadn't really had the conviction. I am whole and perfect. I am not going to be concerned about the illusions that are around me. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and poing! Both legs were the same length, believe it or not. I mean, it's amazing that he waited so long, through his whole career. But the thing is, he never arrived at the point of speaking for himself. Charles Fillmore was always out speaking for everyone else, speaking for wholeness, speaking for the silent unity, speaking for lifting up everybody else. And he didn't realize what Jesus taught too. If I be lifted up, all in the world is lifted up unto me, including myself. And so he was lifted up. And oh, he was thrilled. But it only lasted a short time. Because as soon as it was done, he forgot that he ever had one leg shorter than the other. And the great joy of having both legs the same length was no longer there. Because it was just natural. It was just who he was. And this is how each one of us want to have our wholeness too. If everyone in this room, whatever your difficulties may be, if I were to speak to you and I'd say, you're whole and perfect, 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 if I were to say that, and you, all right, I'm whole and perfect. If you were to accept it just like that, whatever your desire for wholeness and perfection in you would be done. You say, well, my wholeness is that I would like to see myself like Bill Gates. I'd like to be so rich that I have to worry about giving away money. I can't give it away fast enough. I'd like to be like that. Well, would you really? If you would, then just say it's done. Do you know that in this universe, we say, I am that I am. We say who and what we are. But do you know who you really are? You are all. You are Jesus the Christ. You are Plato. You are Aristotle. You're Socrates. You're Hitler. You're everybody. You're Obama. You're everything. You're everything. Everything and everywhere. You're the allness, and you're right now the allness. But you're only capturing a little bit of the allness according to what you objectively see, and you think that that's the real world of who and what you are. And it's the most little world that you could ever imagine for yourself. You know when your children say, I want to be a pilot, I want to fly to the moon, I want to do these things, and you say, ho, 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 sure, why not, I want to be the president, oh, yes, sure, So do a lot of kids, But then your kid becomes the president. You say, I always knew he had it in him. No, you didn't. He knew he had it in him. If you knew he had it in him, he would have got there a lot faster. If parents really believed in their children, but they don't believe in their children. What they believe is that their children are okay, they're good, you know. All I do is look at the children from the Agabwa family here, and I see them, each one, not satisfied with being a genius, but wanting to be a genius in more and more and more fields. They just reach out for more opportunities to be have life be exciting and be who and what they are. They're not limited, and they're good at each level. At each level, they're the top, and that's what you and I are. At each level, we're the top, but we don't aspire to all the things that we really are. So, are you ready? Are you ready to say that you are whole and perfect? Are you ready to say that you are the ideal? Are you ready to say that you are magnificent? Are you ready to say that? Are you ready to claim that for yourself and enjoy it? If you're ready to claim it for yourself and enjoy it, then you will have it. But if you don't claim it, you can't have it. You know that. You know that if you say, "Doctor, help me, I'm not feeling good." And so the doctor says, "Okay, here's some pills. Take the pills." "I don't want to take pills. I don't take pills." "Okay, then go someplace else." You know? Ask somebody else to be helpful to you. "That's all I know how to do is to give pills, you know." And so you say, "Well, you should know more than that, you know." And the doctor says, "That's my training. That's my calling." Now, if you want to go to a metaphysician, they'll help you on the spiritual level and the mental level. You go to a psychiatrist, they'll help you where they are. And you go to the grocery store, and they'll help you where they are. You go to the grocery store and say, "I'd like to talk to a psychiatrist." And the grocer will say to you, "Well, next door he has his office, but here we sell groceries." Okay, do you know who and what you are? Do you know where you're going to find out and demonstrate who and what you are? Or are you just playing the game of saying, it's a pretty statement to say, "I am God, I'm wonderful, I'm beautiful, I'm whole and perfect, I'm rich, you know, I'm independently wealthy." It's just a nice game to say that. Is that what you think? If that's what you think, that's all you're going to get. And if that's all you're going to get, you're not going to be very happy. Because the world is yours if you know who and what you are. Isn't that right, Mary? Is the world yours if you know who and what you are?
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Now, do you know who and what you are? Do you know that no matter what dream you have in your mind, what ideal, what desire, it's done. It's already done because you've already thought about it. You couldn't think about something that wasn't already done. Now, what you want to do is reveal it. You want to demonstrate it. You want to see it happen. It's there in your consciousness. It's there, already done. Everything in the universe is already done before we even see it. And this is how the principle works. This is how the spaceships work. This is how the wonderful science of Einstein and all the others work. It's the invisible. It's the invisible. I was playing a game with Ibu Bey the other day, and he was a bit lively. And so I said, "Ibu Bey, I'm not here." And he says, "Yes, you are. I can see you." I said, "No, I'm not. I'm invisible." And he said, "Oh, you're invisible? Can I be invisible too?" And I said, "Sure." I said, "Now, if you're invisible, you just sit back and be very quiet and think nice thoughts. Now, can you sit back and think nice thoughts and be very quiet?" "Sure." So he sat back for a couple seconds and he thought nice thoughts and he was great. But you see, did I make him invisible? Did he think he was invisible? Was I invisible? I was as invisible as I thought I was. Now, he couldn't find me for a while. He came around. I said, "I'm invisible." He said, "Well, where are you?" You see, he plays the game so beautifully. Now, can we play the game so beautifully? Well, we're adults. We know better. We know that people aren't invisible and so forth. Well, is that right? Is that right? Okay. What happened to your mom? Did she go off to another dimension? She went to another dimension, didn't she? Okay. Have you ever thought about your mom after she left? Yes, you did. Did you ever think some nice, happy thoughts about your mom?
Yeah.
Were you with her while you were thinking those happy thoughts? Was she invisible to you, or was she very real in your consciousness?
Yeah.
She's very real. You see, we have that capacity, and we will not realize that it's real. It's real, and it's powerful, and it's good. And now, so, okay, says to his mom, "Mom, I'm having trouble with this situation, and you always were so good in giving me advice on it. Now, what do you think I should do?" Well, his mom will say, "Okay, I have left so you can do it for yourself. I'm not against you. But if you don't do it for yourself, you're never going to get any place. Now, okay, you know what to do. I've told you enough times how to do it." Now, this is what's going through his mind. That's what his mommy always said to him. You know, okay, get yourself in order. Okay, take care of yourself. It's just like Sam's mom. Sam's mother was always telling him, "Sam, you're a genius. Sam, you're brilliant. Sam, you're wonderful. Sam, you can accomplish anything." And so Sam goes out and accomplishes anything. His mom says, "Say, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so." You see, we want to tell ourselves so. We want to know inside of ourselves that we have this ability. We have this competence. That's who and what we are. We are the allness. We are every dream unfulfilled, every dream fulfilled, every dream that could ever come into our consciousness. And we are there now. We are there now. Now, you don't even know who and what you are. You don't even know what your dream is. Now, I asked all of you last night if you would go home. I asked you if you'd go home and write down at least 5 or 10 items about your wife greeting you at the door, and what does she say to you? And, or your husband greeting you at the door, what does he say to you? Now, not one of you have written it down and have it ready to tell me you got it. You don't have to show it to me, but you don't have it. Now, why was I doing that? Why was I saying, you walk in the house and your wife says, "Oh, sweetheart, you know, you're fantastic. I told the kids, you know, go and watch TV. Your mom and dad are going to have fun together, you know." Uh-huh, you know. And so, you didn't write that down. And then your wife says, "You know, love, having you as my husband has been the greatest joy of my life because I know I have the best." Wow. And, you know, that sort of tickles you a little bit. But did your wife ever say that? Did your husband ever say that to you? Did your husband ever come in and kiss you on the back of the neck and say, "I've waited all day long for this. This is the highlight of my day, to come home and embrace you and hold you and tell you how much I love you." Yeah, not bad, huh? Sam does that all the time, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. A little more wouldn't hurt. But this is what it's all about. Now, why? Why did I have you do that? That's, you might say, not true. It's a lie. That's an illusion. Yes, that's true. But I encouraged you to think with visualization of who and what you are. Think with visualization of where you're going. Visualizing your dreams. Now, in Unity, years ago, you learned to have a treasure map. Remember the treasure maps of Unity? Well, Christy and, what's the fellow's name? OK. Christy and OK, where we are. They said, yes, we had treasure maps. And then OK started telling us of his treasure map. And he said, "You know, every single thing I wrote down and then forgot about and put it aside because I went on to living, as I looked at it later, it all happened." And then Christy said, "That same thing happened to me. I had a whole bunch of dreams that I had for myself. And all the dreams included how I would work with my family and how I'd be able to help my family and how I'd be able to be a meaningful person in the lives of my family, even though they didn't have all the goodness of going to London like I did, of just being so wonderful to them." And then I put it aside. And now, as I look back at my treasure map, she says, "I carried out all those things. Every single, and more. And more." Now, was Christy lying to herself when she wrote those things down? Those were her dreams. Those were her aspirations. Those were her expectations. That's her reality. And she demonstrated that it's a reality. Now, if Christy had not been sincere, if she just wrote down blah, 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 and something that really didn't touch her heart, it would never have happened. And that's what we do too often. We write down things or think things that really are not in our heart, and they don't happen. And if you don't do that, what's going to happen to you? If you don't do that, you're not going to be lucky. You're not going to have a life filled with joy and peace and harmony, because you're going to always be looking outside of yourself for it. Where is it that dreams come true? If you just take the idea of dreams itself, what is a dream all about? A dream is what you do when you close your eyes. A dream is what you do as an aspiration in your life of something you want more than anything in the world. And maybe it's not something you want more than anything in the world, but just kind of nice. Wouldn't it be nice to have a newer car? Wouldn't it be nice to have two cars? Wouldn't it be nice to have air conditioning in your house? Wouldn't it be nice to have electricity on at all times in Wari? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice?
We have it.
Thank you. I sure had to pump that one, didn't I? Wouldn't it be nice? You say, yes, it is done, if that's your belief. And then you, where do you live? What area do you live in? Peter?
Kwale.
Name it loudly.
Kwale.
Kwale. Okay. How is electricity in Kwale? Sporadic?
Epileptic.
Huh?
Epileptic.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Fantastic. My. Okay. Is that great?
Yeah, yes.
You know, I flew over Nigeria on the way down here from Abuja, and it was nighttime. And I looked out over all of Nigeria on the way down, whatever I saw. And you know, it was all aglow with light.
Yes.
Every area was aglow with light. And I was saying, that's Owerri. That's Owerri. That must be Owerri over there. That's Owerri there. All aglow with light. And this is what I see for you.
Okay.
Now, say it's done, that's good, but also know that it's done and act as though it's done. Last night we were having our talk here and twilight came, and as twilight came, the light went. And I was sitting here checking my notes on my list here of things that I gave you, and as I did that, it became quite dark. And the type was small, but I was reading it and I was utterly amazed. Then I did something really strange. I took the paper and I held it up here, and a light from outside shined on that paper. I don't know how it got there, but somehow the paper was almost illumined and I could see very clearly what I had written on there. Now, isn't that interesting? I didn't mention it at the time because I didn't think it was surprising. I thought, that's nice, you know. We have miracles taking place in our life all the time, and we just say, oh, that's nice. We don't really realize how much... Was that a miracle that light shone on that paper just there at that area where I could read it for you? Yeah. Very good. Because it got pretty dark for a while there, and kind of hard to see. But we have that ability, and we can do it. Now, we have our statement here, and it says, who and what I am. Well... It's nice to say, I am God. It's nice to say, I am good. It's nice to say, I am all these things. But it is even better to be that. We have a card that we use for years. It says, before I think or speak or act, I say, how would I as God... Whoops! How would I as God respond? Just relax. How would I as God respond? And as God, I respond in love and gentleness and wholeness. Sam, you are an acrobat. You are fantastic. And Sam wants us to realize what an acrobat he is. He is really amazing. He is a good, good man. Now, are you ready to be a good, good guy yourselves? Are you ready? Now, do you see Sam as needing help, or do you see Sam as being fantastic? Do you see Sam as being absolutely magnificent, or what do you see Sam as? Would you like a water, or what would you like?
A pack of cotton balls.
I'm sorry? Okay. I think that the things were moved off the table here for some reason. But, so, how do you see Sam? All of you, how do you see him? Okay, now, are you seeing him whole and perfect just because I insist that you see him whole and perfect? Or are you seeing him whole and perfect because he is? Is he whole and perfect?
He's whole and perfect.
Well, then know that.
Absolutely.
Know that. That's the truth. Now, you have a perfect opportunity here at this seminar to have a demonstration of wholeness and perfection. And it does not take anything more than your belief and your consciousness and your awareness. It's done. You can speak your word and you can say of Sam, Sam is whole and perfect. We know that. But Sam is whole and perfect. And when Sam walks around here, he walks around like a young spring chicken, you know. He is just full of life and spit and vinegar, just able to do anything he wants to do because that's his nature. And that's your eyes. That's the sparkle in your eyes. That's lovely. Now, is he going to get older and older? Is he going to live to 100 years in a healthy body?
Yes.
More.
God.
More. Okay. But he's going to live all the years of his life in a healthy, happy, hearty body.
So indeed.
And all of us are going to do the same thing. We're on the same team with Sam. We're all going to live in our healthy, hearty, happy bodies all the years of our life because that's our nature. Now, do you want to do that?
Yes.
If you do, then we have to go back to Peter. Because Peter said, judgment, judgment, judgment. How do we get rid of non-judgment? Or how do we get non-judgment and get rid of judgment? Well, we get rid of judgment in one simple way, by being master of ourselves. Be true to yourself. And when you're true to yourself, then everything works out. Everything works out just perfect. Now, we have a lot of opportunities in life, and right now Sam is giving us a couple opportunities. We are acting like a couple of old women who want to jump up every time the child falls down. And when the baby falls down, we want to say, oh, did you hurt yourself? Are you okay? You know, and the kid's perfectly okay. The kid falls down normally. That's just part of the game that they're playing right at the moment. Well, now, the game that Sam is playing right at the moment is just being a demonstration to each of you to see how much you're going to try to mother him physically or how much you're going to mother him mentally. Now, have you ever sat and watched your children doing things they shouldn't do and you just quietly said to yourself, all is in divine order? You had to be patient yourself. You had to believe in yourself. And you say, all is in divine order. And, you know, and the kids were still messing up. You were tempted to run over there and spank them. You were tempted to run over there and discipline them. You were tempted to run over there and make them do what you wanted them to do. But you just sat back, breathed deeply and said, all is in divine order. All is in. These are your testing opportunities to see how much you use your mind to direct the world around you, to direct the experiences around you. All is in divine order. Well, now, is Sam all in divine order? Is he absolutely perfect? Yes. Are you all in divine order? Just remember this. This is the hardest thing to remember. Anything we see on the outer is a reflection of what we are on the inner. If we're unstable or if we feel there's a problem somewhere and we look out and we see it, then that's inside of us. So, that means it's important for us to clean house in ourselves. I am divine order. Now, think about that. All is in divine order, or I am divine order. All is in divine order is a little iffy for us to work with. But if I say, I am divine order, then it's just me that I have to take care of. It's just my attitude, it's just my thinking, my way of looking at life I have to take care of. Nothing more. Nothing more than I am divine order. I am divine order. And when I say I am divine order, what happens? Then all is in divine order. But if I'm not in divine order, I cannot see divine order anywhere. Because everywhere I look, I'll see problems. Now, I get in the airplane, and I say, I am the pure white light of love. I surround this airplane with my pure white light of love, and all my ways are peace, and all my paths are pleasantness, and the way is open before us. And lo and behold, the plane flies beautifully, perfectly, everywhere I want to go. And everything the plane does is fantastic. And, you know, it used to be that when people took a plane and went somewhere, they would applaud the pilot when he was landing properly. And I thought that was pretty cool. But they were saying, thank God we're down. But that's pretty cool. to applaud the pilot and say thank you to the pilot because we're down. And when you say thank you to the pilot because we're down, you're saying, I am making this illusion my illusion. This plane is perfect. You probably all heard about the plane that had a problem in New York. It took off, I think, from LaGuardia Airport, and as it took off, a big Airbus, full to the limit of people. And as it took off, two big geese flew into each of its inputs for its propeller, not for the for its jet propulsion engine. And two geese flew in there, and the engines stopped. It stopped them dead. Now here this plane is in a position that cannot get back to the airfield. The only thing the pilot could do, and try to avoid the busy towns with people and houses and city, he landed it in the river. And when he landed it in the river, what happened? It just landed, and the people came out on the wing. Every single person got out perfectly. One person had a broken leg, but that was because they were careless. But everybody else climbed out on the wing, and the pickup barges came, took them in, and they were just like wafting away. Now, what did those people think? What did the pilot think? Did the pilot say, oh, God, you know, everything's terrible? He didn't. He said, how should I handle this? Here's all these people out here. I don't want to kill people. Here's the river. We might drown. Well, it's better that we drown than we kill people. So he said, well, we don't have to drown. We will just dust it in on top of the river. And it was below zero. It was cold, freezing weather. And he dusted it in and just settled it down. And then the people climbed out on the wing, got on the barges, and after everybody got on the barge, the plane sunk right to the bottom of the river. And they had to pull it up later and bring it out, you know. But not one person drowned. Not one person. And they thought, in fact, Obama, as president, he called that guy and he said, I want to honor you in the White House for exquisite flying, saving the lives of all these people that could have been injured by you determining the river rather than the ground. Well, now, what happened? He just took control. It's a miracle. No, it isn't. All of our life is a miracle, but it really isn't. It's just a matter of what is our attitude. Did that pilot think he was going to die? He's a long-time pilot, and he didn't think he was going to die. He had no idea about dying. He had no idea of leaving this world at all. He just thought, how shall I handle this in the proper way where it, all of us are taken care of and the people in the world are taken care of, that we're not going to, you know, cream their houses, you know. And he did it. Now, what would you have done in a similar situation? Would you have lost your cool and said, oh, you know, become frantic about it? A lot of people do. Or would you have done like that pilot? And you say, well, here we are in this dilemma. What's my next move on the chessboard of life? I will do this and do that. You and I have that opportunity every moment of our life. Because the opportunity comes to us to make a decision of whether we're going to live a happy, harmonious life, one in which we believe in ourselves, one in which we think that we have done the right thing, or are you going to live a life where you have taken a bunch of people's lives just to try to save your own? You know? Interesting. You only save your own life by putting your life in the proper perspective. He, number one, did not want to die. And number two, he didn't want anybody else to die. And number three, he had to figure out a way to have that happen. And so he did. He did. We are facing that too. We're facing that every day. You say, I don't have enough money to live on. Well now, who are you? Are you a poor person? Are you a pauper? Are you a person who has nothing? Well, apparently you're a person who has nothing because you think you have nothing to live on. No matter what your circumstances are, you always have something to live on. You always have something to support, supply, and uplift your life, if you will do it. But it's your decision. Now, when you are facing problems like they were, are you going to say, it's all lost, all is over? Or are you going to say, hey, just a little setback along the way, something to see how my skills are, how well I've honed my skills and prepared myself to do the job I want and must do, or, you know, am I going to run away? What are you going to do? How are you going to face it? As I said, our friend Obama, he went into office, and the first thing he did was to give away several trillions of dollars to the people of the United States as a special gift to them for their overpayment of taxes. And people said, there's no money. You can't do that. He did it. And he's doing many more things that you can't do because if there's no money, you can't do it. You too. You think, I can't do this because there's no money. Well, when you go out and you put a cause in motion, the money is there. You don't spend money you don't have, but you do go out and put the cause in motion to prepare yourself for whatever you want. If you want your business to grow and you need to have a larger business office, you go out and you rent a larger business place, and the people say to you, you want to buy this or you want to rent it? You say, well, for the moment, I want to rent it. And so you rent it, and they say, this is what it is. It's a little high. And they say, well, I haven't rented it for a while. We'll lower it for you, you know, but only for 2 years or only for 1 year. And you hadn't expected to get a cut. You needed that place for your advanced company work, but you didn't expect to get the cut, and there it was, right there before you. Right there before you. And just like our friend Grace, she didn't expect to be the head of her bank. She thought she'd be a director in it. She thought she'd be important in it. But she didn't think she'd be the head of it until I got after her. And I said, you're the cheese. You're the top one. You're in charge. You're the one who's running the show. You're the one. And lo and behold, they made her the top cheese and gave her a bank of her own. Now, how about that? You say, that's unreasonable. But she allowed herself to dream. I gave her support, mental, and she allowed herself to dream, and it took a bump. And Christy was always saying, I'm working to help my family and working to help the world and working to do this. And Christy, stop it. You like yourself, don't you? You have a nice body? Yes. Are you an attractive woman? Yes. Do you have a nice manner about you? Yes. Do people love you? Yes. And everything? Yes. And I said, well, Christy, you deserve to be the head of your organization, or the head of your, not only the head of the nurses that you are, you deserve to be the supervisor for the department and the supervisor of the department and so on up the scale, because you have that facility about you of just having people do whatever you ask them to do. That's good management. That's good CEO-type business. And little by little, she's letting those things happen to her. Little by little. We don't often dream for ourselves big enough and broad enough and wonderful enough. We don't say, who am I? Who am I? Where am I going? What is my purpose in life? What do I want to accomplish in life? Who am I? You see, do you really know who you are? Do I really know who I am? You say, well, Herb, you are X. Well, and then tomorrow, I'm Y. You say, oh, I didn't know you had it in you. Well, it was there. You don't know. Who are you? Who are you really? Are you willing to say, I am the creator of my world? Are you willing to say, any dream that I have, I speak my word and it is done, accomplished? Are you a person of your word? Are you a person of your conviction? We had one student write into the campus and ask for books and ask for this and that, and then said they were going to send a check. Well, they never sent the check as far as our records went. And we looked over the records and we sent them the books, but we hadn't any record of the money coming in. And so Ellen wrote to the person and said, we haven't any evidence of the money coming in. And she said, I said I paid it and I paid it. And she was very upset. And I told Ellen, if ever any of our students tell us that they have done something, then it is done. As far as we're concerned, it is done. There is no question whatsoever. If they lie, then that's on their shoulders. If they're telling the truth and there's a mix-up someplace, then that will be revealed. But we do not carry the burden of somebody else not paying their bills or paying their bills. We don't carry it on our shoulders. We just go with the flow and our money comes in to accomplish all things, and we are not worrying about all that stuff. And so, on this trip, I met the lady, and she said, yam, 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 yam. And I said, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, did you once come and talk to me? You know, you were talking to everybody else on campus, but did you ever come talk to me? No. Well, you had a problem. You should have come and talked to me, and you should have told me what the problem was, because I know you, and I know the type of person you are, and I know it all. And she said, wow. And I said, come and talk to me. So we talked, and she says, that's a load off my shoulders. I said, well, why did you have it there in the first place? You know? And so we don't know what's going to be taking place tomorrow. We have no idea. After I took care of the discussion with her, I called the campus and I said, this is the case. And they all said, I'm glad we don't have to worry about it. But you see, it could have been our fault, where we didn't write it down when the money came in the proper place. That can happen when you have a lot of accounts and things that are being worked on. But it happens very seldom. But the thing is, it could. So why not give the person the benefit of the doubt? And give yourself the benefit of the doubt. And which means that you say, who are you? Are you the creator of all? Do you have the infinite abundance of the universe at your beck and call? Are you the one who sets everything in divine order by you, for you, through you, as you, by saying, I am divine order. I am divine order now. 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 Boom, 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 boom. And you say, Herb, why do you get so silly and excited about those things? Because it takes that sometimes. One of my students said to me in Switzerland, a very brilliant person, he said, Herb, what comes after bliss? You know, once you found bliss, then what comes? He said, I want to know what I want to teach on. What comes after bliss? And I said to him, very unkindly, I said, shit. What? What? What a terrible thing for you to say. Well, I don't know. Do you know what comes after bliss? I've been in bliss, but I haven't been after it. Now, I don't know what comes after bliss. What comes after bliss is more bliss, probably. But, you see, we ask stupid questions because we want to irritate somebody, or we want to show that we have the intelligence to ask those questions. And we don't really stop and realize that there is no after bliss. Once you have entered into a state of bliss, you have entered into the state of allness, and nothing comes after that. But if you have to ask, you think something comes after that, and so therefore you've never been there. And you can be there. Each one of you have been in bliss a number of times. Each one of you have been in this high level of consciousness. Each one of you are, I say the Nigerian people are the craziest people in the world. Of all the people I talk to all around the world, the Nigerian people are the most brilliant, the most intelligent, the most aware people. Now you say, oh, come on, Herb. We're not really that. Look at us. We don't we're the third world country. We're not really a first world country. Well, is that what you call yourself? A third world country? I call yourself number one. I call Nigeria number one, and I don't even live here all the time. Just a little bit. But are you number one? Are you fantastic? Okay. If you're fantastic, then it is. And Sam, anytime you want to hop up and down, let one of your angels give you an arm and then walk you to it, okay? Because they love you. They love you. And we'll get Sam back on his feet here in no time at all, and he'll be out running a road race. You know, Sam, you got to get out there and catch those fish so we have those fish to eat. And if you don't do it, they're not going to be caught with love, you know? They'll be caught with a net or something else. But do you understand what I'm saying? And do you understand? No judgment. No judgment. There's no reason to say if something is right, something is wrong, something is good, something is bad. Sam is whole and perfect. A little child is whole and perfect. But as they're learning to walk, you sometimes give them a little hand. You don't say, you stupid person. You know, every noon or after lunch, I take a nap for about 10 minutes. And I lay down and I just feel wonderful. I say, peace, and I drop right out to sleep. And so many people have the attitude in their mind, look at that old man, he's got to take a nap. And then I say, yeah, look at that young kid. When they've done playing, after an hour or so, they lay on the floor, zonk, they're gone. And look at these teenagers that are out there running around, and they're playing soccer and volleyball and stuff like that, and they're working their hearts out, and then they come back and they lean against the fence and zonk, they're sound asleep. And then 10 minutes later, they're up and at it again. And you say, wow, yes, that's true. So just as you take charge of yourself, don't let yourself judge yourself by anybody else's judgment. Who and what you are is the most wonderful, creative, the most dynamic, the most exciting thing on the face of the earth. You are all that is. You are all that can be. You are the isness. You are the allness. Now, who and what I am? Think about it. Who and what I am? Now, let's go around the circle and let's ask each one of you who you think you are. Now, we'll start with me. That way it makes it a little easier for the rest of you. Herb, who do you think you are? Well, I know who I am. I'm God. I'm wonderful. I'm fantastic. I'm glorious. I enjoy letting my heart sing every time I open my mouth. And I like to open my mouth. I like to talk. I like to share. I let the words just flow out of me, not into me, but out of me, because this is the center. This is where the divine is, and it flows out of this divine center in me. And I'm not worried about saying something right or wrong. I'm just being me. I like me. You see, I like who I am. I know who I am. And I'm good and very good. I'm God. I'm wonderful. And everybody in my world is my reflection, and it's such a nice world to live in with all these gods and all these beautiful people, you know? It's such a nice world to live in. Now, DS, Dr. Sam, what do you think about your world and who you are?
I'm in control of my world.
You're in control of your world.
Everything goes according to my thoughts.
Now, Sam, you've got more guts than that. You can speak a little louder. Come on now. I'm in control of my world. I'm wonderful.
I am wonderful, yes.
I'm whole and perfect.
I'm whole and perfect.
And you even spoke to your wife right in the middle of this and said, do this for me, sweetheart.
Yes.
You're fantastic.
And she's gone.
You know it.
It's done.
Yes. Anything else?
That's where I am.
I like me. I'm God. I'm whole and perfect.
I know that. I'm whole and perfect.
Wonderful. Okay. So, now he's going to have a swig of tea. Now, what about you? Who's next here? Peter?
Yeah.
How do you say who and what you are?
I am the totality of God.
You are the witness of God?
The totality of God.
The totality of God?
Yes, the allness of God.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
The isness.
The isness.
Yes.
Do you know what the isness is?
The isness.
The is-a?
The isness.
The isness, yes. But do you know what the isness is of God?
Yes.
What?
Expression of God.
No. You are God, you're not an expression of God. There's not a God outside of you that you're expressing. You are God. You're expressing God in you as you. You are that God. That's great. Okay. You like it?
I like myself.
Ah, great. Anything else?
I am the reflection of my world.
You are an expression of your word.
The reflection of my world.
A reflection of your
word. Of my world.
Very good. Is that a good word? Yes.
I am me.
You am you. Okay. Very good. Anything else? I want to leave the door open for you.
How about?
No. I know there are other people coming. I just said, are you done for the moment? Okay. Now, you can come back another time if you want. You know, we'll go around 8 or 10 more times if you want. Okay. Who is this? Emmanuel? Who and what are you?
I'm God.
Well, now, that's a truism.
Yes.
And what does it mean when you say, I am God?
I am whole.
I am whole and perfect. And what?
I like
me. You're doing great. Now, just keep it flowing.
Okay.
See, all these
like
good things.
Like me, wholeness and perfection.
Wholeness and perfection. You like me. Good, good, good. Go ahead.
I am my reality.
Your what?
My reality.
Your reality. All right. We don't know what that means, but he does, and so that's all that matters. So you're your reality. That's super. Anything else? Or is that a good start? That's a good start. I don't want to cut you off, anybody. I want you to go as far as you want, but when you're ready to stop, you just have to tell me, okay, next. All right. Yes, sir.
I'm the creator.
Albert is the creator of his world.
I create everything good.
You create everything good?
All goodness comes from me.
Every organ, action, function in your body, perfect, huh?
I'm whole. I'm perfect.
You're whole and perfect. Go on. Yeah, you can talk for another 10 hours.
I'm a divine being.
You're a divine being. Great.
I'm all.
You're all.
I'm a spring being.
You're a spring being? A free being? Say it again, please.
I'm spring being. I'm spring being.
Okay. And is that good?
Yes.
Okay. Now, anything else?
Yes.
Yes, go on.
I'm Alpha and Omega.
The beginning.
The all and of all.
You're the beginning and the end.
Beginning
of,
and end.
Of nothing.
Yes.
Yes. Because there is no beginning and there is no end. It all just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, anything else?
I'm whole.
You're God.
I'm God.
Yeah.
I express myself, God.
Right. Right. Good. You're okay.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, there's somebody behind your head there. Who is that over there? Sitting deep in the couch. What's your name? Come on, what's your name?
Chidemo.
Somebody say it loud so I can hear it.
Chidemo.
God is good.
Again?
Chidemo.
Shizuma.
Chidemo. Chidemo.
Chidemo. Well, thank you very much. We got this microphone here, and we got these people all over the world who'll be listening to this tape, and they'll say, Shishima. And who is Shishima? Is she... Hey, Shishima?
Chidi.
Chidi.
Huh?
Chidi.
Chidi. Chidi. Oh, hi, guy. Shishima?
Chidima.
Shishima. What do you think you are? Who are you? Are you God? You're not going to let it out of the bag, huh? Are you a happy guy? Yeah? Are you your mother's son? Yeah? Is your mother wonderful? Hey, come on! Don't you think your mom's wonderful? Huh? What a bashful boy. Mary, I would never have thought that you and your husband could raise a bashful child. Goodness sakes, we'll have to get after that boy. Mary? What do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who are you?
I am God. I am God. I like me. I am divine order.
I like me. I'm divine order. I'm God.
I am peace.
Ah, oh, I am peace. And how about a little harmony? I am harmony, huh? Harmony.
I'm harmony.
You like that?
Yes.
You think that's a good idea? All the time? You think that your family is founded on harmony? All your kids and all your relationship is harmony? Sounds like a good idea, doesn't it? Yeah?
Yes.
Are you a good mommy?
Yes.
Yeah? Your kids all love you?
Yes.
Why? You love them.
I love them.
And they reflect back to you what you believe about yourself. Okay. We'll get that guy talking one of these days. That's great. Anything else?
Peace.
Peace. Ah, yes. That's one of my favorites, one of Sam's favorites, peace. Very good. All right. Here we go. Lucky?
Yes.
What do you say you are?
I am all things.
Ah, yes.
I'm all that Father is.
That's good. Come on.
I'm Christ.
That's good.
I'm an infinite being. I'm fantastic, wonderful, magnificent.
Are you married?
Yes.
Yes, that was a yes. Does your wife love you?
She loves me.
Does your wife say things to you like, you're the greatest guy in the whole world?
She does.
She does. I like that. No hesitation there. That's beautiful. Now, why does your wife say, you're the greatest guy in the whole world?
Because, I'm the only one in her life.
Because it's true.
Is it okay?
Yeah. And not that you're the only one in her life, but it's true. You are the greatest guy in the world. If she thought that somebody else were greater, she would have married them, wouldn't she?
Yes.
But she married you because she thought you were the greatest. Now, does she tell you that every once in a while? How great you are? Do you tell her how great she is?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Well, great. Great. That makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? Who are you?
I'm the embodiment of all good.
You're the allness, the totality. That's beautiful. Anything more? Okay. Oh, my. Okay. What are you going to share with us? How you are yourself and how you know who you are and you are who you are. Huh?
I am
loud and clear.
I am an infinite being living my world of wonders. I am a magic man in my world.
Hold on a second. We should have brought the little baby in, but I don't think she knew about the language, to use the words. Does she know who she is?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Okay, go ahead, okay.
I said, I am an infinite being living my world of wonders.
Uh-huh.
I am the magic man in my world. I am the expressions of all that is good. I am the embodiment of the infinite.
Is there anything that needs change in your world?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I am a finished product, undefinable.
Nothing needs change because all is in divine order, right? And all is in divine order because you are in divine order. That's terrific.
Yes.
Now, how is your family?
Beautiful. They are whole and perfect.
How are your children?
Whole and perfect.
And how are they as far as being successful in all their endeavors?
I am success myself.
They are?
I am success.
You am. And so they are. They're your reflection, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Honest.
That's good.
And they are my reflection.
That's right.
As an honest, they are all honest. As I'm success, they are all successful.
Beautiful. Anything more? You could go on like this forever, huh?
I love myself. And my world.
Good. You love yourself and your world, huh?
And I see good everywhere.
Good
is everywhere.
Very good. All right. Miss Sybil? Dr. Sybil? What sort of thing are you going to share with us after Dr. O.K. shared?
I like me.
Oh! Oh, no, no.
I am
what a
good.
Strange thing that no, you would
I
say.
Am.
Beautiful.
I am ideal. I am absolute.
Terrific.
I am whole and perfect.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
I am my original purity and integrity.
I like that one.
I am the archetypal reality.
Beautiful.
I am magnificent.
Beautiful.
Fantastic. Great. I am supreme. I am wonderful.
Now, does it help you to know all these things inside yourself?
Yes.
Why does it help you? What does it do to you?
Because I am so illumined that I know what to do at any time.
It is when you know this, you live it.
Yes.
Yes. And when you live it, life is pretty wonderful.
Wonderful.
Do you think all of their choices of who they are is going to be something fantastic for them to live?
They are.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
You got that, Sam?
Yes.
You got to take notes on these things. Great, 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 great.
Well, they are my reflection.
Yes.
And they live it.
Yes.
Infinitely, fantastically. And they
beautiful.
Are aware masters.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you very much. Any other comment anyone wants to make? Any last minute thought of how wonderful you are or who you are?
Yes.
I like me, huh?
I am wonderful.
I am that I am. I am that I am. Very good. All right, we'll close this segment. And this afternoon, we start at, what is it, 2?
2.
At 2. And we will continue. Let's see what we're going to do at 2. At 2, we're going to talk to you. All right, noon or 2. So you mean really 2 rather than noon? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, this afternoon. How my consciousness influences my life. My goodness, that's a powerful idea. How my consciousness influences my life. And truly, we are conscious, and we want to influence our life in the most positive, beautiful, wonderful way that we can. Okay, so we'll look forward to all of you at 2, and we will share some great ideas together. Now, did you want to have anything else, counseling or anything between that?
Yes. Well, anybody that wants one-to-one.
Yeah, then you just set it up and we'll do it.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.